These surveillance videos are from a case prosecuted by Hennepin County. They show parents checking their kids into a center only to leave with them a few minutes later. Sometimes no children show up. But either way, the center would bill the state for a full day of child care. This video from that same case shows a man handing out envelopes of what are believed to be kickback payments to parents who are in on the fraud.
Where was the money going?
I don't know exactly where it went.
While Soros judges continue to spit at justice for the Somalian fraud piracy that has escalated across the United States for years,
she acknowledges in her order that fraud was rampant in this case, and it was clearly out of control. She couldn't believe the level to which fraud was allowed to be able to be perpetrated. And then it comes to bear that she lets him off because she felt as though somebody else should have been to blame that wasn't the owner of the company.
And the worthless dinosaur media psyop plays their loaded deck of race cards.
The Somali immigrant population may have been involved in some way. Those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right.
Now, listen to where this phone number goes to when you call this child care center.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
You don't even need to get on a plane to investigate. You can do it from your computer. I tried it out myself, and lo and behold.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
In Washington State, 539 of about 5,000 licensed care centers are Somali-run, many lacking a physical address and some posting that they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I called many of them, and it simply went to generic voicemail.
Please leave your message for 425. Please leave your message for 20. All has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
The fraud has found safe harbor in Democratic strongholds across the United States in many forms.
Gateway was billing for services they did not provide and billing for services that MainCare does not cover. DHHS also confirmed to us how much MainCare paid Gateway between the years of 2019 and 2024. It's about $4 to $5 million each year. A total of more than $28 million. And this third audit falls right in the middle of that time frame.
The company's founder and CEO, Abdullahi Ali, Somali-American, who while at the time serving as executive director for Gateway, last year ran for president, which is essentially governor of Jubaland, a state in Somalia's south of borders Kenya.
Christopher, how long had this been going on? You were at Gateway for quite some time. How long do you think this has been going on, this fraud?
I was there from 2018 to recently 2025, and I hadn't realized about the audit that had been completed in 2018. So before I even got there, they were complicit in some of this stuff.
My name is John Featherston. I'm a former migrant shelter director in Massachusetts. I helped out in a couple different sites. Everything is free.
How much is given for rides for Uber and Lyft?
The amount of money that we would spend on Ubers and Lyft was well in excess of $100,000 a month.
Month?
So these individuals tried to report the fraud that was happening in Ohio and then eventually came to me to say that we're watching providers. So you could sit at home without caring for an elderly parent who really doesn't need it, make about $75,000 to $90,000 a year. Now you add two parents, that's $180,000. Now you add your in-laws, $250,000. You continue to add this, and you wonder, what are the services being provided? So a lot of providers came and said, fraud is occurring because we said we weren't going to rubber stamp this paperwork, so they went to other providers. Their home healthcare network saying, we'll make it worth your while. Well, sounds like a kickback to me.
What if the whole reason Tim Walz was chosen because he had access to all these billions of dollars in fraud and the Kamala Harris campaign knew it?
If you have specific evidence or concerns about fraud in programs like Medicaid, welfare, SNAP, housing, or federal aid, you can report anonymously to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General at the internet address on your screen, or you can call 1-800-HHS-TIPS, 1-800-447-8477. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Remember, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, it's buy one, get one free on supplements, and you can buy a cheap supplement, get a expensive one free. It's that type of sale. It ends tomorrow, December 30th. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight and getting the great guests that we do. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Casey Putch, at Casey Putch, Putch for Ohio.com, an Ohio native, nationally recognized automotive entrepreneur, race driver, and founder of the nonprofit Genius Garage, where he mentors young talent in engineering and design. Frustrated with globalist policies and H-1B visa abuse, he's stepped up as America First alternative to the Republican primary, in the Republican primary against Vivek Ramaswamy for governorship of Ohio. Again, you can follow him on X at Casey Putch. Thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Putch.
You got it. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure, and I'm very glad that you agreed to join us. I've been watching your campaign with extreme interest. Tell us about yourself. How'd you get started? Why do you think you're best for the governorship?
Well, so politics has become very interesting to me, especially since the Biden administration, when I'm just watching the entirety of our culture fall apart, be divided, and just leveraged for political gain for all the wrong reasons. Obviously, I supported President Trump, spoke out publicly using my own platform last year for that to happen. But in the last year, I'm seeing things just in general across the board that are horrific. One of those being Vivek Ramaswamy, who, from everything I can tell, is only a globalist Trojan horse. And simply the thought and the decision to run against him in the Republican primary for the governor of Ohio is because, for me, the pain of inaction outweighed the risk and pain of action.
And Vivek is he's an interesting case because for a while he was saying all the right stuff. He was this big champion of the MAGA side. And then it was around this time last year, it was Christmas last year, where he made this fateful post where he's basically insulting American culture. He's really never recovered, but they're still pushing him quite a bit. I mean, what is it about Vivek Ramaswamy that makes you say he's a globalist Trojan horse?
Well, it's pretty simple. You know, this is a guy that, obviously his parents weren't from here. They're from India. Okay. He was born in Cincinnati, I guess. You know, he didn't go to college in Ohio. He went to Harvard and Yale, got a Soros family money scholarship. He has no businesses in Ohio. He's, despite his great wealth, he has done no philanthropic work in Ohio, nothing to better the state. So that throws up a lot of red flags for me. And then if you just watch him over time, of course, when he was running for president, a couple of years ago, you know, basically took all of Donald Trump's talking points, bows out early, obviously not polling well at all, supports him the whole way, gets appointed to do Doge with Elon, which I have to say, for all of us watching, probably the most important thing that could happen with the government to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse and bring the nation forward. But when we get toward the inauguration, things seem weird. He sort of vanished and can't tell if he quit or got booted out or what on earth happened. And then suddenly he's getting shoved in Ohio for like the possibility of governor. An astroturf like crazy. That's when I started going, no way, this is not right. This is a person who cares nothing about our culture. He shows no roots in Ohio whatsoever, no relatability in any way. He's done nothing for the state. And of course, me being a car guy and somebody who's cared with family that's worked hard with family businesses their whole life, with military in the family going back to the 1800s, we're all people that are Ohio. We've worked hard and had to be responsible for it. And I see none of those qualities reflected in Vivek. And of course, his Christmas crash out last year where he went on a thing saying, it's not that Americans have a low IQ or lazy, but your culture sucks and you watch Saved by the Bell and Boy Meets World. And it's like, you know, okay, people say dumb things. Gosh, I've been an automotive YouTuber. I'm sure I've said plenty of dumb things. So give him a little bit of credit, but you watch him over time and go like, this is a mean, vindictive nerd with too much money that hates us. You know, I guess my only message I got to say is, you know, when my parents were working darn hard at our family business when I was a kid and you know, I was watching TV on the antenna, I watched Saved by the Bell too. But, you know, I built a 100-mile-plus-gallon car, built a nonprofit educational program, mentored college students for the last decade plus, getting them incredible jobs everywhere from Lockheed Martin to the Big Three. With no help from the government or any kind. And heck, building a little watch business now. And heck, this watch right here, our prototype meets all the NASA requirements for the Artemis missions. And I'm just looking around going, screw you, Vivek. We're Americans. We're trying to make the future better. You know, I feel like we're in the original Star Wars movie where we fell down the garbage compactor and the walls are closing in on us. And now here's Vivek coming in, who clearly just wants to facilitate more of these data centers that are being slipped in under the cover of night, that we're subsidizing the cost of them through massive electricity bills. They have massive tax abatements. There's no net gain for the state at all. And he's obviously a big proponent of H-1B visas from India. And then saying that we don't have smart enough people in the United States and smart enough people in Ohio, so they have to import Indians? Well, one, you're going to destroy the job market because the big companies know they can pay them less. I mean, shoot, just ask Grok how much money Tesla might even save with H-1Bs, and Grok will calculate that for you. But the other thing that does is it destroys the job market because now companies don't have to pay the Americans as much either. So everything I see about Vivek Ramaswamy coming through ahead, when you just look at it objectively over time and just comparison to me, what's a relatively normal Ohio guy trying hard to make the future better, and all I see is a globalist Trojan horse that's going to ruin our future.
Well, and it sort of represents this major split in the Republican Party right now. So I'd love your take on that and how we patch this up. I mean, obviously, this really, you know, came to the fore during the TPUSA AmFest last week, where it was sort of, it almost seemed like it was split down the middle, and you had the speakers kind of arguing with each other speech after speech, where you've got the Vivek Ramaswamy's and the Ben Shapiro's. And I guess the argument is like the creedal nation versus the people of the nation. Can you talk a little bit on that and the future for MAGA and the Republican Party, and how do we bridge this gap, or should we even bridge it, or do we need a new party or something? Just talk on that a little bit.
I'll tell you something I don't think anybody's thinking about right now. There's no split. Republicans, everybody's still on the rails. America's still on the rails. Conservatives and our values are still on the rails. And, you know, I'm going to go a little bit of a sidebar. Everybody talks about the uniparty. Mm. Two wings of the same disgusting bird, right? Very two-dimensional picture, very bleak. But if you flip that over, you learn something. There is no left or right. I mean, people have far more in common than they have apart. So with regard to the conservative side, with regard to this so-called rift, it's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to group people into, they're trying to corral them. Because if you can corral them, it's easier to pick them off. Mm. So I think that's what's happening, frankly. Because if you look at who's on both camps, forget about all the rhetoric, forget about the propaganda, forget about the labeling. You realize all there are solid conservative value Americans that are standing up and fighting for tomorrow, that are taking an onslaught from those seeking to control it and take it over. So for me, you know, I've always been a Republican, always had those great conservative values brought to me from my families for generations of working hard and fighting for the nation. And it's simple. I see that being hostily taken over, and Vivek represents that to me. And that's why I'm here, simply fighting in the Republican primary to get rid of them and right. Save Ohio.
Well, and how would you do that? How would you go about saving Ohio? Because we've heard, obviously, the Somalia fraud in Minnesota is huge. A lot of talk about it being just as big in Ohio. I mean, you've got companies bigger. Okay, well, you've got companies offshoring while simultaneously bringing in H-1B visas. Like, what would you do as governor? What levers do you have to pull to stop the dispossession of Americans?
Well, what's going on is horrific. You know, the first thing is very simple. earn some trust back. Because right now, America has zero trust in our leadership and politicians. Frankly, I don't either. And that's why I'm here. So that's the first thing. Being a real person, take the slings and arrow, yeah, but keep marching and earn some trust back. The next thing is like, what are you about? It's simple. I care specifically about the people of Ohio, period. What is objectively in the best interest of the people of Ohio? Because the state only exists because it has people. We are that great resource. And secondly, our land. So everything that we're going to do and look at, from the issues with data centers, H-1B, potential Somali-related daycare center, waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, waste, fraud, and abuse across the board must be researched, looked at, and attacked. But really, it comes down to all of the policies are what is in the best interest of the people and their future to be able to build a family, to build a community, believe that you have a tomorrow, believe that you can actually afford a home and that your children will be able to have a home and you have a clear runway to build a business and to build industry and a better tomorrow, and not just have people where it's very clear that it's all hands out, robbing everybody blind with the walls closing in. And that's everything I see that's happening, all the hot button issues, everything that relates to Vivek and is mirrored in what Vivek seemingly wants to do is just all of the ways that we are being destroyed in every way possible.
Being torn apart, a thousand cuts. But obviously, as you point out, I mean, there's this uniparty. The Republican Party establishment itself is clearly not on our side, not on you or I's side, not on the side of the American people. How are they treating your run for governor? Have they been treating you nicely? And if you win the appointment, are they going to back you up? I mean, they clearly put all their eggs in the Vivek basket. They must not like you very much. How's that been?
Oh, they've been quiet, too quiet, which means they're probably panicking. Okay. I'm guessing they don't even know what's going on because they're completely out of touch with reality. They're out of touch with the people. They're going, is he a leftist plant? Yeah, no. I've been a Republican since the late 90s, unlike Vivek, who only became one in the last few years. So it's time for them to pull their head out of their south side and look around and see what the people actually want. Because at the end of the day, the American government is supposed to be for the people and by the people. We, the people, are not happy because what's going on is not in the best interest of the people. And, it stems to money, We're all very happy that Donald got in, man. All so behind that, making that happen last year. The thought of a Kamala presidency, not good. We all went to bat for that. And it's really exciting. So everybody got excited, want to push Vivek too. But he's been out there too long. He's stale bread. The veneer has worn off and the emperor has no clothes. And the people are revolting. So the difficulty is the Ohio GOP is in a difficult position. Everybody endorsed him way, way, way too soon. So they're going to need to stay quiet. And I will tell you this, since Christmas, the GOP in Ohio and some other people have turned off the comments on their Twitter because all the people of Twitter are lighting them up so hard since I've come out. Because the contrast of me being an Ohioan that actually cares shines the brightest light on all the cracks in Vivek and what he really stands about. So there's a tangible thing going on there. I do see a war coming to Ohio. This is of national interest. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. Everybody looking at it's going, oh my gosh, did you go in right in the middle of it? So this is genuinely a fight for America, American values wholeheartedly, and the globalists. And there's a number of fronts to this war coming quickly. So I've got amazing people behind me, amazing support from all of the public, actually all over the nation. And so we are positioning ourselves for what's to come. And frankly, I'm risking everything. This is insanely dangerous. I'm a car guy. I'm not a billionaire. But here we go.
Yeah, well, and it's incredible to see the success that you're having. Of course, I see a lot of similarities between yourself and James Fishback in Florida, running also for the governorship against Byron Donalds there. I always get his name wrong. And it seems like almost in a way, it's like because the Republican Party is so controlled and because of the way politics has been for a long time, somebody who's going to rise up to challenge them, we're almost forced to have the best people. Like I've noticed with James Fishback, especially, it's like they're used to this world where everybody's corrupt. So they've all got dirt on each other and they can, you know, manipulate people and change it. But then you've got people like yourself and James Fishback, where if an accusation comes out, you're just like, well, here I am. What's the accusation? Here's all the proof you need. Like, what else can I do for you? Nothing. Goodbye. You know, or like, yeah, I like trains. That's what's in my background. Like, do all the research you want.
You saw that.
I did. Yeah. So it's sort of, in a way, it's like we're being forced to just have the best of the best people who are totally uncorrupt, who have nothing in their background, because anything less than that and they'll be destroyed by the system or by the establishment. Yeah. So it's like, in a way, there's almost, they've almost forced us to be better than we would have to be otherwise.
Absolutely. You know, it comes to a point where there comes a point where certain men will not be able to stand idly by anymore. You know, I'm not one ever to talk on behalf of the man upstairs, but all I can tell you is before I decided to come on, this is something I've been thinking of for years. My soul was burning. It was on fire. And I thought about it and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to live and not do this. And I won't recite it now or read, but there's a bit of a little speech or poem, and it's entitled "The Men Who Just Wanted to Be Left Alone."
Right.
And when we get to the point where the men who just wanted to be left alone are pushed to this point, heaven help the people who go against them.
Yeah, well, it's almost like I wish that the government would just do what's necessary, just bring back basic law and order so we aren't forced to, like, you know, have to defend ourselves. But it seems like the DOJ is just totally lacking. Comments on that?
Well, let me tell you something terrifying. So one of the things in my policy and platform that's hugely important to me is bringing back law. And one thing I despise is lawfare. That centimillionaires and billionaires can just manipulate anybody and lawfare them into non-existence. That basically goes to show for a normal person like me and so many other people, or even if you have less means, law is not going to count to you the same. So big things on that. But a tweet from Vivek Ramaswamy today, I think, is terrifying. Everyone should be absolutely terrified of what Vivek wrote. And it was simply, fact check, true. And in parentheses, he writes, friendly note to those trying to push defamatory lies. Save your records and don't delete them. Happy New Year's in advance. Whoa. And he shares something about people writing nice things about him. If that's not a thinly veiled threat, I don't know what is. So little old me, with only like 30 some thousand followers to his 3 million, I wrote this. Ohio should not have to live with a governor who sues dissenting voices. This is America, and we believe in free speech. At this point, we just don't like you. And I have the receipts to show that. Reject Vivek, vote push. And it was fun because I ratioed the heck out of him. But that's absolutely terrifying. He's in a position now where he's feeling so threatening that this, to me, it feels like a thinly veiled threat that he's just going to start suing people. And I go, oh, my God, what's that mean for me? I'm thinking, okay, I'm on a hit list somewhere already. This is not cool. This is not America. This is not acceptable. And the GOP, hey, that's your boy. Figure it out.
So let me see if I get this right. So I think Vivek posted that about somebody commenting on maybe his old business, how he got his money. But basically, I wouldn't even say it's a thinly veiled. I mean, it's a threat to sue, right? He's basically saying,
terrifying. If you're absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, if you're speaking out against me, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. So what's that mean for me? I work for a living. I don't have all this and all these attorneys. Like, I now have the people behind me, and that's amazing. But my God, you know, his net worth raised, what, $800 million in the last less than a year just because he's out there perpetually politically campaigning? What the heck has he ever done for the people of Ohio? And now he's threatening to sue anybody who doesn't like him? Meanwhile, he's going on, AmFest and writing, authoring op-eds in the New York Times that's just basic leftist propaganda, that if you don't like Vivek, that's because you're a racist Nazi piece of crap because he's Indian. Well, no, Vivek, we don't like you because you never done anything for people in Ohio. We don't think you're doing anything for America. You're worth a silly amount of money. You're out of touch. You look down your nose at everybody, and we think you hate us. Well, guess what? I'm Casey Putch, and I don't hate Ohio. I care only about the people in Ohio. And if it's the end of me, I will stand up to this. And I hope everybody else does, too, because it's not right.
No, you're exactly right. Maybe that'd be a good motto, is like, you know, Casey Putch, the man who just wanted to be left alone. Right. It's like, well, we didn't want this, but here we are. We have to confront it. And again, it's sort of, I guess, the H-1B visa topic really distills this whole conflict down into its basic parts. Right. Is the GDP more important than the people? Are we so incapable of training our own people to fill these jobs? Do we really have to sell out to these other countries? Because Vivek says it, but Trump says it too. He's also pushing the H-1B visas. This really is like the litmus test, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is something that I will go absolutely nuclear, full mag dump from the hip, tracer fire minigun on, because for the last 11 years of my life, I have mentored college students in engineering design. And these young people, because of what I did in just conjunction with their education, have unbelievable jobs everywhere from Tesla to GM, Ford, Marathon, starting their own businesses, even Tesla. I've had no support from the public. I've not gotten paid. I have so many hours in it that I got a lifetime achievement award in education from President Trump in his first administration. I got one even from the Biden administration, which honestly, I'm pretty proud of because I'm probably the only straight white man ever to get an accolade from Biden.
That's incredible.
And then lastly, thank you. That's funny, right? I was so honored. I was honored to get to fly with the United States Air Force Thunderbirds also because of my work there. And so when I hear President Trump, the leader of our nation, our representative, you know, forget about Vivek. He's no one's leader. He's just hoping and trying to con everybody into voting for him. But when I hear Donald Trump, a man who I supported so much, I've been harshly critical, but I have also supported him tremendously. When I hear him say, we don't have smart enough people. Whoa there, pal. I with no support built an over 100 mile a gallon diesel car that out accelerates my Dodge Viper and has a lower carbon footprint per mile than an EV when you consider national charging and, you know, the pollution offset of that. And I've got these brilliant young people that are putting together ex-professional racing cars. We're building airplanes in short amount of time and getting incredible jobs. And there's no support for it. And these young people come from our American educational system with federal student loans that can't be defaulted on. That a 17-year-old kid could take out a $100,000 loan, maybe to go into a major that has no jobs, so that we can rob the future wealth of the nation and go to the black hole that's academia? Uh-uh. I know for a fact we have all the brightest people here in America because I've been mentoring them with no support from anybody for the last 11 years. But I got a pretty plaque on the wall, got a couple of them, but that doesn't buy you a cup of coffee or keep the lights on. So, yes, I 100% not only take it personally, but I professionally will combat any time that's said. If any politician says America doesn't have the brightest and best young people that we need to get behind, that we need to help for the future, they are lying to you, period. There is nothing else to that.
Powerful stuff. I completely agree. And of course, it's doubly insulting when you hear that the very same companies that are apparently importing visas by, you know, importing H-1B visa holders by the tens of thousands are, Microsoft $75 billion into training in India. It's like, you can't do that training here. It's just clearly they are siphoning money away from us, sending their jobs overseas, bringing people from overseas to go to school here. So it's like, in school, we're discriminated against. In hiring, we're discriminated against. And then you've got half of the country telling us that we deserve it. And, you know, we're lucky it's not worse than it is. It's completely outrageous. Can you stay for the next segment? Can you stay for the whole hour?
I am all yours, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Casey Puch is my guest. I hope I'm saying that right. Am I pronouncing your name right?
It's Puch, like put Puch. Your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth is. Perfect. That's P-U-T-S-C-H, P-U-T-S-C-H for Ohio.com, all spelled out. Puch for Ohio, Casey Puch on X. And we'll be back on the other side to talk about this more, go through his platform, including what we were talking about earlier with the fact that BlackRock and Blackstone is buying up all these houses and is making houses unaffordable. And the socialists not only don't have a solution for this, they're actively contributing to the problem. So we'll get into that and what a governor can do to combat all of these forces systematically bankrupting America. Stay tuned, folks. It's the War Room, InfoWars.com. Stay tuned.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at theelectionstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. He brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down. And we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by candidate for governor of Ohio, Casey Puch. You can follow him on X at Casey Puch. That's CaseyPutsch, and PutchForOhio.com. Now, I was going through your platform on your website, PutchForOhio.com, and I obviously perfectly agree with everything you list out here, but I really love seeing two things in particular: making housing affordable, and then you have the right to repair. So just before you came on, we were doing a segment about the fact that it's not just BlackRock, Blackstone, these big private equity companies buying up houses so that you'll own nothing and be happy, as the World Economic Forum puts it. But they don't want you to own your phone. They don't want you to own your car. They don't want you to own anything, really. And that ties into the right to repair and the fact that you don't own the thing that you bought. They can put limiters on, even to the point now where cars are, they have horsepower that you can't access without paying a monthly fee. It's absurd. So talk to us about the right to repair and sort of the reason why this is such an important thing. It's not really just about being able to, you know, fix your tractor, right? It's a really deeper reorganization of society that these people are attempting.
You're exactly right. It's hugely paramount. You know, obviously I'm a car guy. I work on all my own stuff, buy older cars that have depreciated and I can maintain them. You know, got a toolbox, know how to use it. I think we need shop class back, frankly. And it's just hugely important to be able to look after your own stuff, because right to repair is not just limited to difficulties we've heard about with farmers. And if I'm not mistaken, it was John Deere. There was a big hubbub about that, to where, you know, you got a farmer out with a combine or tractor out in the field, and you got to get this stuff done right now because of weather and what's going on with harvest. And then suddenly something breaks down. And just because it's some stupid computer you can't access, suddenly you can't get to a dealer. Nobody comes in and it's going to cost a fortune. It's wrecking farmers. That's stupid. You know, last time I checked, the United States of America, personal property is hugely important. You have to be able to be a master of your own life and your destiny. So, you know, I had heard people say, I say this, you can pry my sports cars and my firearms out of my cold, dead hands, because this is freedom. And it's the freedom for you to be able to look after your future and maintain your own stuff. So that comes down to anything. Cars, tractors, you're a farmer. You know, can you work on your own phone? Can you replace the battery? Can you work on your bicycle? Can you fix your own house? They want to take all those things away because it's just another way to simply take all the money from people, all the wealth from a nation's future, but most importantly, have full control over you. Because if they get to the point where you can't afford to own anything because you can't even fix it anymore, well, then you're going to own nothing and like it. Well, we don't like it. We see it coming and we're going to fight against it, period, first and foremost. And if for no other reason, I'm a car guy and I can't afford the new fancy cars. I've never bought a new car in my life, but I can have darn nice things and fix it with my own two hands because I got a toolbox and I can control my own destiny. And, you know, maybe not everybody's going to do that, and that's okay. But I will forever fight to the death for the right of every American and Ohioan to be able to own their stuff and repair their own stuff. So very, very important to me. There's nothing else to it than that. It's kind of like Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed is very clear.
Yeah.
With regard to homes. So that's a terrifying scenario as well. You know, what we've seen since 2020 are things that happen in the market that just shouldn't happen. You know, loans from people, immigrants, illegal immigrants flooding the market where there's not enough houses. But things are being happened, so we can't even build new houses easily. Yeah, it very smells of orchestration, but in a big level to make this happen. But, you know, if you just look at it from a simpler perspective and you've got corporations and private equity companies buying tons of private homes, well, when they come on the market, they got the power to just offer a little bit more, just offer a little bit more. So outcompete everybody. Doesn't take very long before they have massive portfolios. And see, what happens in the housing market is the same thing I have seen done in the classic car market or the exotic car market. In the exotic car market, you might have somebody that they're the authority on some fancy car, maybe from a particular country or a particular market that's very collectible. And this is something I saw done back when I was looking at all of a sudden, you know, an older collectible model from a car every year, a new one would double in price. That's kind of weird. Well, if you buy up a bunch of a particular kind of car and you hoard them all, there's no regulation on that with cars. And then you can just simply auction one off publicly and maybe some friends of yours pays a new world record price for it, then changing the market. And then you already own all the cars. So your stuff's worth more and you can manipulate a market. Same kind of thing happens with housing. And that's terrible because that is one thing and one thing only. That is robbing the future from Americans. That is robbing the future from our children to ever be able to afford a home. And just one more step in the slippery slope of you will own nothing and like it. And it's simply unacceptable.
Absolutely. And of course, this is somewhere where there is overlap between the left and the right. I don't know anybody that I talk to on the right that is happy Blackstone is or BlackRock or any of these companies are able to buy these houses. The left speaks out about this too. I always have a problem with the way the left speaks about it because they're strictly concerned about the money. That's what they think it's all about. I think it has more to do with control and the circumvention of our of restrictions on the government by going through private companies, right? if you don't own your home, then the company that owns your home can give access to your home to the police. They don't even need a warrant. They might have an agreement. Same way that they can access your information from big tech companies without a warrant, because they have a portal with the big tech company to provide all the information, because you don't own that information. It's on their servers. So to me, this is a lot more about circumventing the Bill of Rights and being able to access information without warrants or warrantless surveillance, or seizing your papers without permission. That to me is what this is about. Do you agree with that, or do you think this is about money and that this is more of just capitalism unrestrained running wild?
I think this is a long-term evolution of a country, humanity, and systems. I think the United States of America was put together beautifully. What an awesome nation. What an awesome structure and vision from our founding fathers. The difficulty is, though, we're in a time of human history that they didn't foresee.
Right.
And if we just look at more and more ways of greed and corruption can eventually just keep working, finding new ways to death by a thousand cuts and wreck the future. Yeah, of course, that comes into play. The other thing that comes into play is basic game theory or the prisoner's dilemma. And I'll let you guys look it up. But if you think about the prisoner's dilemma, the thing that's in the best interest over the long term is for the prisoners not to snitch on each other, which really explains the nature of how Washington, D.C. and the corruption in politics happen. When they're in long enough, eventually it's going to default to the prisoner's dilemma, and they're not going to snitch on each other. And that's why, term limits, things like that are very important. But in terms of the natural evolution and where we're at right now, I think in terms of our nation's history and human history, we're staring down the barrel of AI. And that's somewhere where I become highly critical of, our president. When all of a sudden I see them trying to slip unregulated AI into the big, beautiful bill, where states have no power to regulate that. What are we doing to protect people's likenesses, their voice, their image, their IP from AI that basically kind of, is pilfering everything off the internet already? We're already at a point where AI is so good at making videos and photos that people don't even know what's real anymore. That is 1984 scary dystopian sci-fi stuff that we're talking about. And it's so powerful that we have an incredibly short time left. And I pray to God we have enough time left to do anything about it, that real soon it's going to be we will already be past the point of no return. I cannot accept living in a world like that, where people no longer have the power and the control of our own future. Because where are we going?
Right.
What's the vision of humanity? What's the vision of the nation? Because all I see is authoritarian or totalitarian control and power coming through data and et cetera. So those things are very frightening, and people should be absolutely terrified by it. And people are pushing back. We see it. They get it. Young and old, especially the young. But some of these fights that have to happen, we have to stand up and we have to push back. It wasn't very many years ago that if you said anything slightly off the narrative, you're canceled. Well, that's changed. Okay. But there's more things that we have to stand up tall against. And right now, that's why I'm running as a Republican in the primary against Vivek. From everything I can see, he only looks like a globalist Trojan horse here to facilitate more of this slippery slope of robbing everybody's future.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right about AI, and I don't wonder if we haven't passed that point of no return already, and especially when it comes to the government and whether it's even reformable at this point. I mean, help us make the case. Like, can we vote our way out of this? I mean, what do you do if you become governor and end up as the head of this bureaucracy that's so entrenched, whose practices are so sort of calcified that you find you can't even do anything because, these bureaucracies run everything in reality? It seems like our system is so corrupt, it's almost like I want to burn it down and start over, but I also want to go back to the Constitution. It's like we need a revolution to get back where we were in the past. What do we do about this? Is it even possible? What could you do as governor to rein some of this in? How would you go about, getting control of these bureaucracies? And I'll tie this into what's happening in Minnesota. You say it's even worse, the fraud in Ohio. I mean, how do you even get a handle on that? If it's so many tens of billions of dollars, what do we do at this point? What can the government do to get us back on track?
A lot of good questions. So I'm going to see if I can get through it as well as I can. If we're only going to answer the question, can we vote our way out of it? That alone, absolutely not. Because if all we do is sit down and vote, they're going to keep putting people in front of us. And all American politics will ever be is Plato's allegory of the cave. And I'm done being shackled looking at the doggone wall. So we have to do more than vote. We have to stand up. We have to represent. We have to risk it. We have to run. We, the people, have to do what the founding fathers intended. Become our government. Because at the end of the day, the United States, we all get the government we deserve. And I can tell you, we deserve so much more than what's being presented to us. We deserve so much more than what is being given and done to us. That's why I'm fighting. So what can I do? Well, it's simple. I thought about this. Would you crawl through hell just to make the future a little better for everybody you've ever cared about, to see all the beautiful culture that made you who you are, your state, your people, your community, have a tomorrow? Would you do it? Because I would. I'm doing it right now. And that's the first step. So simply, what can you do as governor? Be in touch with people. Know what's happening. Objectively understand what is right and wrong. What is in the best interest of the people of Ohio, first and foremost, and period. And act upon those things. Is there tremendous corruption at every level of government? Yes. Is it a horror show and will stifle you and push you back and knock you down? Yes. Is it probably basically hell on earth? Yes. But would you crawl through hell to make the future better for everything that made you, everything you hold dear, and the hope for tomorrow for you, your children, your fellow man? I would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you talk a lot about the future, and then I also notice in your writing, you talk a lot about the past. You talk about, you know, preserving cultural heritage sites and institutions and these sorts of things. Help us to sort of justify these two things, that to save our future, we have to stop destroying our past. And that, you know, you sort of talk about what is the narrative that we're telling to people? Like, what is our future? What are we headed towards? I think is the way you put it. I know what the leftist narrative is. The leftist narrative is white man bad, you know, natives good. And if we, you know, everything was great until the white people came along and did colonialism to everybody. And we just have to destroy that and get back to, and it's a very compelling and apparently convincing narrative to a lot of people. And I don't see the right wing pushing our narrative with the same effectiveness. What do you put forward as the narrative about, you know, where we're coming from and where we're going and how we seize on our history to build a future? How do we do these things?
Well, the first thing I want to point out is with regard to left and right, we are all Americans. At the end of the day, we're all people. We're all human beings with a brain and a heart. We all live here together and we want a good tomorrow. So we share that in common no matter what. And what I see on the left and even the right are just different flavors of control, manipulation, globalist BS. They just pick different flavors on different sides to put us against each other so that we are our own enemies when in fact we're not. We're all the same and they're the enemies. So it's understanding that. In regard to where it is, though, I find that conservative values, good conservative values, caring about your family, the nuclear family, the opportunity for a man to, or obviously woman and mankind to own their own stuff, to be able to work, to be able to see the reward of their work, to have a government that works in the best interest for the people so we can build a community and a culture and a nation, that's paramount. And I see those values more reflected with Republicans now. That's why I'm here, because this is where I think we can build the best tomorrow. But I see horrible things happening where we're being sold out incredibly quickly. That's why I'm here fighting. But the point that you made is history. Where does it matter? Now, obviously, on the left, they like to tear all that down and they like to divide us because of little differences between all of ourselves. But the fact of the matter, our history is what made us, all of us. We all just want to feel good about who we are as our individual self, as a nation. Our identity as a nation, to have one, to have a future, our own subcultures, yes. But there are so many incredible, beautiful things. You know, one time years ago, I sailed on a 3-masted clipper ship from around the Netherlands, you know, the English Channel out to the Atlantic, to Portugal and all that. And I was sick as can be. It was rough in the North Sea. It was November, rough. North Sea is quite a dangerous place to sailing. And I couldn't sleep at all. I'm getting tossed around in my bunk at night. And I felt like I was strapped to a giant sea monster bounding through the ocean. And I say this because I couldn't sleep at all. It was terrible. And I thought, think about all the people that sailed from England, that sailed from Europe to build this nation, that fought untold hardship to get here. horrific that nobody even thinks of? I mean, just that little experience there changed me to look back and think about what everybody fought for a better tomorrow. Behind me is a folded flag from my grandfather, Battle of Okinawa, World War II. Landed there on Easter Sunday, 1945, sent my grandmother flowers when they were dating because he never thought he'd get to see tomorrow. You know, he got shot, came out with the Bronze Star. Another picture over that way was my great uncle, flew F-4 Phantoms in Vietnam and nuclear B-52s. You know, everything you see behind me reflects history of our nation. And these are the people who literally fought and watched their friends die so that we all can have a beautiful tomorrow in the United States. And I can be here to try to build a business, to try to help people out with my nonprofit. But here we are at a time where the walls are closing in on all of us economically, socially. Interests outside of the United States are dividing us to steal all the wealth away from a nation's future. And right now that battle is in Ohio. So we have to fight. We have to do it right because I don't want it to be time for the Second Amendment yet. Right. I believe that this nation is good and salvageable, and that's why I'm here.
If that hope isn't there, I mean, you know, the only option is to devolve into violence. And I've always said that's not even really an option because we know that the people in power in our country would immediately call for the UN and whoever else to come help, you know, put down the danger. So that's not even an option. So it's almost we have to find a way to do this through the appropriate systems. The problem, as I'm sure you know, is so many of our fellow Americans have been convinced that this doesn't matter, that, you know, talking about this stuff is, you know, just makes you a weirdo, just like stop paying attention to that stuff. And so that's a thing I always have trouble with. And I don't know if you have an answer to this question, but I might as well ask it. We can tell people about this. How do we make them care? Like, we can inform them that this is going on, but if they don't care, right, you can go, look, they're, you know, stealing billions of dollars, and they don't seem to care. So, like, that, I think, is sort of an insurmountable obstacle to get over. We can present them with the information, but a lot of our fellow Americans are so brainwashed, they really don't care that we're being sold out. They really don't care that we're being destroyed. They really kind of like it. How do we break through to those people? How do you talk to these people that seem to genuinely hate America and think we deserve to be destroyed?
Well, America, it's been very, very good in this country for a very long time. Very good. And we're complacent. Complacency is the enemy of the future. It's the enemy of tomorrow. So how do you make them see? You know, we all struggle in one way or another. You have to find out who has struggled and why. What has people seen? Was it during the COVID lockdowns when people are shutting down a state and you're watching friends' dreams, their little businesses be demolished and their futures demolished and saving accounts because it was over the camp? Was it something like that? Was it H-1B visas and destroying it? So now you went through, you grew up, you did everything right. You're an engineer. You went through school. You're way in debt. Now you can't get a job. Was it maybe because there was DEI malarkey put in and, oh, I'm sorry, you just happen to be the wrong color. You're not going to get a job. What was it? What was the hardship for you? Because it was done by bureaucrats, politicians, Washington, D.C., and their wealthy crony buddies.
Yeah.
So when are you going to fight? Because tomorrow's going away real fast, and I want to have one.
Absolutely. And you're pointing to something that I bring up all the time, which is it seems like now the American government, the American culture at large, punishes you for doing the right thing. You do exactly what you're told to do. If you get the good grades and get the good scholarship and go out for the good jobs, you're an idiot. You're an idiot because you're going to be discriminated against constantly, whereas the guy who just comes in, you know, under the radar and starts scamming everybody, he's going to make off like a bandit and nobody's even going to punish him for it. So how do we correct that? How do we stop punishing people for doing the right thing, rewarding people for taking the shortcut? That to me seems like the fundamental failure of America at this point, is that we are rewarding the bad people and punishing the good people everywhere all the time.
Yeah, that's why I got burned up to run for governor of Ohio and looking at Vivek. You know, here's a guy, you know, people say a lot of things about him. I can't comment on specifically how he earned his money, but he's worth silly amounts of money. Mm. Last few years, all he's done is walk around and campaign, increasing his net worth. Never done anything for Ohio, never built a business here. He hasn't specifically built something. He's not relating to anybody. He hasn't created any new schools. I mean, with the little means I have, heck, I'm building, I'm mentoring, I'm helping the best engineers of tomorrow. You know, how disheartening is that? It you know, the amount of power of the U.S. government from the super wealthy is insane. you know, and what community did they have? They are now, their community is the globe or wherever they want to go at any given time to increase their worth and money. For what? For what? Where are we going? You know, we all want to live. We want a community. We want a future. We want to be able to build a business and build it tomorrow. And it's just all being stolen from us right now. So you're right. The people that have done it all right, we're the ones getting robbed. You know, it's, you know, if you're a nice guy and you're getting pulled over for speeding, well, you're probably going to be paying for it. But somebody that's too difficult to deal with, maybe they want to get pulled over. How many times in life have you ever experienced when something happens and you're the person that's nice and polite, but you get smacked down when the person that was actually doing the wrong thing, it's too much paperwork or too much difficulty, they don't mess with it because it's too difficult. When are we going to be like the World War II generation when they came back? They had the cojones to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, and we're not going to do it that way anymore. That's what we need to do. It's time to stand up and say, this is wrong, objectively, and call it out, regardless of what side of the aisle it's on. Because at the end of the day, we are all Americans, and in my case, we're all Ohioans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing that I think sets you and others like you, like James Fishback and others I mentioned, you seem to actually understand the seriousness of the situation that we're in. This isn't a matter of, oh, the stock market's doing great, so everybody's fine. It's like, no, this is an existential crisis. It's now or never. And we have to do whatever it takes because the only other option, like failure's not an option. It's just not. We don't have anywhere to go. We don't have anywhere to run. This is it. It's the last stand. We're coming to the end here. How can people support you and what's next? Are we going to see a Vivek/Casey debate anytime soon? What is next for the campaign and how can people support you, sir?
Just keep moving forward, putting out the good word, letting people know where we stand, what we stand for, building that and building that. The people are making their own decision because the contrast is crystal clear. They want an Ohioan as the governor. They want somebody who genuinely cares, who gets it, and they're seeing that. Of course, you can go to pushforohio.com. You can support the campaign. You can reach out. You can volunteer. You can endorse. Of course, donate. It matters. We are incredibly efficient with money to do a lot, but it matters for everybody to get involved. I don't get paid. I actually still work for a living, which is amazing. Okay, I have to be insanely efficient, but I mean it when I say I'm risking it all. These billionaires can lawfare anybody for any given reason whatsoever. And they can easily let money just accidentally go to other places to influence or intimidate buddies. So I foresee the worst possible things coming for me right now. And, you know, honestly, I relate a little bit more to my granddad when he told the story about sitting in that cave in Okinawa in 1945, polishing his bullets, wondering how many of them he can get before they get him. Mm. And I am here marching. And together, we're going to keep doing it because I'm just us. I just represent all Ohioans. So we're doing it for all the marbles, guys. This is it.
This really is. Again, you can follow Casey Puch at Casey Puch or PuchForOhio.com. And I completely agree. I love seeing it. I mean, I really feel like this is a crucible moment for America. If the Republican Party can get out of this on top with their H-1B candidates and their, you know, controlled establishment narrative, then we really are lost. We have to send them a message and support good candidates like Casey Puch. Thank you for being here with us, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Puch, for being here with us. Fantastic stuff.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997. to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.